Today's episode has all your favorite topics rolled into one. We have recruiting, we have retention, and we have artificial intelligence. And on top of that, there's a great offer for you to participate and get the benefit of our guest's capability for free.
Welcome to the Home Care Heroes and Day Service Stars podcast. If you provide services to keep older or disabled people living at home, then this podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, Ken Accardi.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the latest installment of the Home Care Heroes and Day Service Stars podcast. So today we have two topics that are often asked about and they're coming together. So the most talked about thing on Home Care Heroes and Day Service Stars is caregiver recruiting and retention. So we're right in your wheelhouse. But something that gets asked more and more about, especially in 2023 with things like ChatGPT out there, is what's this stuff with artificial intelligence and science and that kind of thing? And this episode is going to bring all of that together because we have a great team here from a company called Agile Brain, and they're going to talk about what they're doing that is using science and artificial intelligence to help with recruiting and retention and employee satisfaction. And a way that they're going to make that work here in home care and adult day services. And I'm really, really excited about this episode. And I've gotten to work with these guys, John and JD, in preparation for this. And there's an opportunity for you guys at the end. So I'll kind of lead with that. So working with a small number of home care agencies, they've built a model for how recruiting and retention can be improved with their technology called Agile Brain. But if you've learned some things about artificial intelligence, then what makes these systems better is by having more data. So if you think about places where you see artificial intelligence in your everyday life, like Amazon.com telling you something else you might want to buy when you're putting things in your cart, or Netflix telling you something else you might want to watch, they're able to do those things because they have lots and lots and lots of data. And so there will be an opportunity for you if you want to participate in getting better recruiting and retention through this science. That'll be offered as an opportunity to you later in this podcast. And it comes with some really nice benefits, like some free access to the service. And what you'll be doing is helping build that artificial intelligence model. But usually I don't do such a long preamble when we jump into a podcast. And I've been remiss in introducing our very special guests who are from a company called Agile Brain. And they are Dr. J.D. Pincus and John Penrose. So let me welcome you first, John. And so let me welcome John Penrose. And John, do you know anything about home care or adult day services? Let me ask you that question as you introduce yourself.
Yeah, that sounds like a leading question, Ken. We had this conversation earlier. You know, my mother, who just celebrated her 100th birthday, lives at home, supported by a wonderful group of women who come in around the clock to care for her. And so I've been in the in that seat for a number of years now, and really, really appreciate the value that those women and the home care industry deliver. So yeah, I know a little bit about it from one perspective.
Yeah, perfect. Firsthand experience. That's one very special thing about our industry here in home care and day services is that, we all have parents and people who benefit from it. And it's touched all of our lives in a certain way. And it's great to have a guest who relates to that as well. And a quick hello from Dr. J.D. Pincus. So what kind of doctor are you, Dr. Pincus? And where are you coming from today? I could tell from those of you who are going to be watching this on YouTube, I see that Mr. Penrose is in some fancy high rise in Boston or something like that. But where are you? You look like you're in a more rustic place.
Yeah, I'm out in Maine, between Freiburg and Bridgeton. So up in the lakes region. So here I can show you my view. Hopefully that will come through.
It's very, very beautiful.
There's a lake and a mountain. Yeah. And it's nice foliage. But so I'm not a medical doctor. So, if you ask my kids, they'd say he's not a real doctor. I'm a social psychologist by training, and I've been involved in kind of studying people's emotions and motivations for a really long time. So that's sort of the background that's going to be relevant to this call.
Very excellent. Okay, so I think we'll start the questioning with John, and I know that Agile Brain is helping people not only in home care and day services, but in other industries as well. Let me kind of start by asking the question, if I look across, let's say, the U.S. business market, what are people spending on employee development and employee satisfaction and those kinds of things. Is this a real industry that people are spending money on?
Yeah, it's a really big industry. In fact, there are lots of market studies out there and data, but a reasonably reputable source that we look at suggests that U.S. corporations spend over $160 billion on training and development each year. That's, I think, one of the more conservative numbers. I've seen much higher numbers, but I don't have quite as much faith in that. So that's a lot of money spent trying to develop people's capabilities and engage them in the work. But there's another number that's important too, and it's a number that's grown from almost zero 10 years ago, and that's $57 billion that corporations spend on well-being platform, well-being programs. This is above and beyond the traditional benefits package that employees get from their employer. These are all kinds of programs that are really in response to the well-being crisis among employees. It's trying to get employees to be well enough to engage in the work. And so there's a huge number when you put those together, well over $200 billion spend each year.
Well, that's a pretty big number. And based on all that money spent, is everybody just doing great and all the employees in all the companies in America are just super happy people other than maybe in home care?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Unfortunately, the ROI on that big spend is really terrible. Gallup, I think most people know Gallup. They do an annual study of employee engagement. And their latest data, which came out a couple of months ago, said that only about 30% of the U.S. workforce, one of the most engaged workforces around the world, by the way, but only 30% of the U.S. workforce is actively engaged at work. 50% of the workforce, half of the workforce, is kind of neither engaged nor disengaged. A further 20% are actively disengaged. These are people looking for the exit. We do a workforce listening study twice a year, and we've been doing that since the beginning of COVID. And the numbers we see completely confirm that. We've seen the level of unmet emotional needs of employees grow study by study to the point where it's now at the highest level we've seen. And furthermore, that the level, those needs, the nature of those needs has declined dramatically in terms of their positivity. So employees are, really emotionally wired and they're wired negatively right now. So the conditions are really not good for, engaging and retaining employees.
No, it's a tough picture. And so this is going to be talking straight to probably some data that a lot of our folks in home care know these stats inside and out. I'm actually going to share some slides. Most of you are probably listening to the podcast in your car as you're driving somewhere, so I'll try to be very visual in my descriptions. The first thing I'm showing is a slide from AARP, which is talking about the decline in the available pool of caregivers. And actually, it shows that around 2010, we started having a decline in eligible caregivers in the country. And at the same time, we all know that our number of Americans are living a whole lot longer and we have an aging population. The home care participant community is estimated around 12 million people today, and that's expected to go up to $30 million. But the rest of these slides come from, Mr. Penrose there talked about the reputable source in his industry. I think the most reputable source here in home care, and here I am leaning on the home care side, although I will say that I visited the National Adult Day Services Conference in Chicago just a couple weeks ago, and that industry is now kind of starting to catch up with some good stats. But the first thing I'm showing here is profit margin in home care agencies, and really it comes down to, most home care agencies have single digit profit margins, if that. On average, the profit margins are less than 5%, and that's pretty scary in any industry. We also are, I'm showing the next slide, is the impact of the caregiver shortage and basically, if you add it up, 97% of all home care agencies are talking about there being a measurable impact of the shortage of caregivers. And in the case of more than 60% or right around 60% are saying that it's either extremely negative impact on home care or a very negative impact. So we know we're all feeling that. And then this last slide I'll show is one that says that 85% of home care agencies say they've turned down cases because of not being able to fill them with caregivers. And actually 59% of agencies say that that's a very regular thing, is that they're just not able to, kind of fill cases as a result of that. So I think, unfortunately, Mr. Penrose from Agile Brain and myself have painted a pretty bleak picture of, kind of employee satisfaction and things like that. I guess the last slide, which I should have shown, is probably the most important one, but I won't bring the slides back up. It's that we have about a 64% turnover in home care staff. So home care folks only stay in their job, on average. I mean, 2/3 of the workforce in the home care industry is turning over on a yearly basis. And that's quite a big, number and a big fact. And it's really the biggest problem that we face in the home care industry. And I guess just another little plug here for the opportunity we're going to offer in the end, just in the way that a lot of you are turning in information to Home Care Pulse so they can provide these great statistics, you're going to have an opportunity to participate in a study here with Agile Brain to really get a better reading on, what's going on in the home care industry in terms of recruiting and retention. All right, so I've kind of talked too long. Let me kind of go back to the questions. We've kind of painted this bleak picture. I'll go back to you one more time, John. It sounds like you guys at Agile Brain think there's something that we could do about this that would be better than other people have been doing so far. And can you tell us what that idea is and how it works?
Sure. Thanks, Ken. I think as business people, we're all familiar with that adage, what gets measured gets managed. Part of the reason that corporate America has such a terrible ROI for all of this huge spend in trying to recruit and engage and retain employees is because we fundamentally don't know how to measure what is really going on. We know from the neuroscience revolution that emotions drive human behavior to a large degree, much larger than we think. And yet we all grew up in, maybe we went took a business degree, undergraduate, or got an MBA, or have simply been in the work world for a long time. And we apply our brain power, our cognitive, best thinking to solve problems. The problem is that doesn't do a very good job of explaining human behavior. And so one of the critical shortcomings is the ability to understand what motivates our employees. So we'd use the words emotions and motivations, kind of interchangeably. They come from the same Latin root, but they basically mean making change. We want that change to be positive. So measuring those emotions and motivations is absolutely critical. And the good news is JD and the team at Agile Brain have come up with a way to actually do that.
Oh, incredible. And so, I mean, is it like that thing I always see in answer this on a scale of 1 to 5, five if you're happy and 1 if you're not happy? Is it that kind of thing, or is it a little bit different?
JD, you want to take it away?
Sure. So I guess I'd like to ask people, to think about the last time that someone asked them to complete a survey and how excited did they get about that prospect? And when they were actually taking the survey, how closely were they paying attention to the items and, as opposed to kind of clicking through it as quickly as possible? That is a perennial problem in the survey business. And for some reason, through some unfortunate, starting values, we ended up with a situation where almost all research that's done, social research, psychological research, is done with text and scales, which is a hyper-rational way of looking at things. People, for the most part, we know don't pay attention. We know that when they do answer, they're concerned about who might see their answers. So that affects what they give. And as a result of all these various biases that go into that we end up with results that are not particularly predictive of anything, because everyone is either picking the central value, you know, a 3 on a 5, or they're giving everything a 5, or, you know, there's not enough variance. And it's just really kind of a mess. If you think about it, this is the situation that the psychology world faced when it came to the questions of bias, you know, things about, you know, racial bias or sexism, homophobia. And when you ask people about those things, they wouldn't give you their honest answers. So what did they do? They had to come up with a workaround. They came up with the implicit associations test, which is a reaction time based test, which looks at pairings of, you know, qualities of people and people's sort of things they associate with those types of people. And it's a thing that they couldn't game. And because of that, it was a way to reveal that people had these implicit biases. That's essentially what we're using in our technique. It's the same thing. It's a rapid exposure to images. The images complete a sentence. You basically select the images that complete that sentence for you, and you don't select the ones that don't. So we'll say things like, you know, when I think about my work in home care, I wish I could feel a little bit more. And you'd, a bunch of positive images will come at you, about one every second. No time to think. You basically click on the ones that fill it, that complete it for you. You don't click on the ones that don't. Then we flip it around and do it on the negative side, the prevention motivation, which is negative images served up as, you know, when I think about my work in home care, I wish I could feel a little bit less. And we see these negative images. And the whole thing happens in 3 minutes, which is crazy. It's so fast. People will go through, invariably they'll say, I just picked on a bunch of images. I'm not really sure why. There were some other images I wanted to pick on, but I didn't. You know, I wish I could have slowed it down. I wanted to see that one again. That's the whole point of this, is that you can't think. We're basically forcing this into this emotional response window where you have to respond with your gut. The beauty of this is, first of all, it's over very quickly. Secondly, it's incredibly predictive. We're finding in our predictive models of things like retention that, you know, the vast majority of the predictive value is coming from this exercise. And we're able to explain, for instance, in one industry, you know, 70% of the variance in whether or not people will stay or leave. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. You're seeing a bunch of images of people in various kind of, motivationally negative states, you know, a person who feels like they're being stabbed in the back, or a person who feels like they're overworked, or that kind of thing. That's the sort of images that are depicted. It's a lot easier for somebody to pick it, an image like that, in a split second than it is for them to rate that on a scale. I mean, there's a complete level of deniability associated with this in that they don't know time to think. So what ends up happening is the truth is revealed. So we end up very quickly coming up with a very accurate picture of the motivations and emotions that the person's having at the time toward their job or toward whatever the situation is. And that is very useful for identifying who is likely to stay and who is likely to leave.
Very good. Well, thank you for explaining that. You used a couple science words in there. You lost me a little bit, but if I kind of, you know, bubble it down and, you know, kind of the takeaway is I'm going to be essentially, if I'm participating in this as, let's say, a caregiver, I'm going to be asked really two questions. It's, you know, I'd like to feel more this way and less that way. And those are going to be my two questions. Then I'm just going to react to images. And, you know, so maybe I'll see an image of, you know, a group of people and say, yeah, I'd like to feel more included, or, you know, and that kind of thing. But it's not going to be a big narrative, and it's not going to be on a scale of 1 to 5. It's just going to be like, yep, I'd like to feel more like this. I'd like to feel less like this. All right. Well, this sounds pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, it sounds like from the participant perspective, like it's not going to be hard or arduous or take a whole lot of their time. So that's all very, very positive. So, you know, you talked about being in the industry for a while, but I mean, did you just make this stuff up yourself, like when you started this company recently, or is like, you know, could you tell us a little bit more about the science here, sure. Dr. JDP?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been working on this for a really long time. You know, the original ideas I was playing with back, I don't know, around the year 2000 or so. So for about, you know, 24 years or so, I've been playing with these ideas. And basically, this really came to fruition when I joined up with John and Bill and the other folks at Leading Indicator and kind of recreated it as Agile Brain, that it became a thing that started with an insight around human motivation that really, you know, human motivation, there's a million theories out there, these mini theories of motivation, like, you know, the fear of failure or the need for achievement or the need for affiliation or the, you know, need for safety or Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There was no meta theory to explain all of that. So that's essentially what we did, is to create a meta theory that basically says motivation is about two things. It's about change. It's about where do you want to make a change in your life? And there's four answers to that question. And what kind of change do you want to make? And there's three answers to that question. So it's essentially four domains of life within myself, within the social world, within the material world, or within the spiritual world. And it's, you don't have to take my word for it. There's 12 different, you know, world philosophy systems, including all five major world religions, that make that same supposition. And then the other question is, what level of change do you want? And that comes from Aristotle's modes of existence, sort of, you know, a being, doing, and having, if you will. And when you cross those, a wonderful thing happens. Suddenly, we have a home for every single one of those mini theories of motivation. And that's our framework. So that's the first sort of scientific pillar. The next was to understand that images work much better than words in terms of eliciting emotions and measuring emotions. We actually can process an image at least 10,000 times faster than we can text. Our bodies and brains are evolved to process visual stimuli. Text has only existed for a few thousand years. So by using images and then exposing them in this very rapid way, that we're borrowing from neuroscience. And Antonio Damasio's lab, was the godfather of neuroscience, came up with this. Basically showed that within a few milliseconds, you can understand what it is you're seeing. Within about a half a second, about 400 milliseconds, that's the first time your body sort of launches an emotional response. And then in about a full second, 1,000 milliseconds, that's your first opportunity to kind of cognitively reprocess and think about how you're feeling and possibly bias your answer. So what we do is simply force you to respond in the emotional response window before you get to the intellectual cognitive thinking part. And that's sort of the secret sauce here, that we're getting people to give their gut reactions instead of a thought, you know, a thoughtful, deliberate answer, which is prone to bias.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, a lot of sciencey words in there, but I'm pretty much getting it, and I'm definitely understanding that there's a lot of science behind this. And, you know, but what I really like is the simplicity of it. You know, I'm looking at pictures. It's something that I, you know, relate to. I liked how you talked about the different realms of life and this kind of thing. And so I'm very, very excited about all of that. So actually, in your first answer, Dr. Pincus, you talked about some results, like in one industry, you found, I think you mentioned a 70% correlation. Could you elaborate a little bit more on what that is? Because, you know, I'm really trying to get in. I mean, we're still building out this in home care and day services and things like that. But what have you seen in some other industries that's been very encouraging about this?
Yeah. I mean, so the correlation that we were seeing, if you think about it that way, was close to, you know, 0.9, you know, like 90% correlation. To explain variance, this is probably more math than you need, but, you know, you multiply the two together, you take the square of it, and that ended up being around 70% of the variance was explained. What that, just for context, in social science, if you could explain 20% of the variance in a behavior or a phenomenon, you could, you know, be in the running for a Nobel Prize, right? Because in social science, for all the reasons we've talked about, all the bias that comes in, the response styles, all that stuff, it's very hard to explain variance in real world behaviors. When we're able to explain 70% in something like intention to quit your job, I mean, it's unheard of. It's something that is sort of new to the world. So it really, and this was in a particular industry, in the biotech industry, where they have a big problem of retention. You know, people kind of jump ship all the time and go to competitors and you know, sort of look for opportunities. Knowing who's going to quit is really important, and knowing what you can do about it, what are their needs that are not being met, is a pretty handy thing if you're responsible for retention.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Mr. Penrose, John, I've been neglecting you for a while. Do you have any kind of anecdote wins that you want to share as well? Oh, I think you might have muted yourself there. I see you. I see your lips moving, but I don't hear you.
I think I had a sneeze, so I muted myself. A couple of quick things. the fact that the images come so quickly and there's so little text involved here, it's really a gamified experience that happens on you know, your cell phone. And with my mother's caregivers, when they're not helping her, I'm usually talking to her in the living room and they're in the other room on their cell phone, for better or worse. You know, people live on their cell phones now, and this is an application and exercise you can do right there in a couple of minutes, right on your phone. And because it's all images, there's very little language barrier issue here. And so we can have a lot of confidence in the values, the responses we're getting. I think one other thing I'd mention is we talk about retention, and oftentimes we think about retention as, after the closing the barn door, after the fact, it's like it's too late. But if we can do a good job of predicting retention, there are interventions we can put in place, in a timely fashion. And I think as interestingly, we can predict the likelihood to stay for a candidate. Imagine, and I have a buddy in my mastermind group of other CEOs, and he runs a home care agency, and he's, just flat out recruiting all the time. Imagine if he could have an indicator that would say, what's the likelihood that this person will stay 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? That's important information to know in the hiring process. So I think there's a lot of excitement around this opportunity.
All right. That sounds good. And speaking of the opportunity, so these guys from Azulbrain have put together a really nice opportunity for listeners of this Home for Heroes podcast, and we'll send it out to our community as well and offer it up in a couple different ways. But what they're actually offering is that at no cost to you, you'll be asked to give, essentially how to contact 10 of your staff and let them, go through this 3-minute Azulbrain assessment. And the one thing we're going to ask of you is, for you to kind of bucketize them. Hey, this is one of my steady Eddies. This is one of my rock stars. And things like that, they'll basically, by doing that, you will, get a number of things. First of all, the caregivers that you invite to the survey, they're going to get an Amazon gift card. And then you, as the agency, you're going to get results, and, you'll be contributing just like you've contributed to the Home Care Pulse statistics on the industry. You'll be contributing to making this model better and expanding the demographics to different places. And then you'll also get, as an offer of this, you'll get 3 months free. If you say, if it sounds appealing to you that you could have something that you could use with your candidates that will tell you if they're more likely to like the industry and stay in the industry, and also with your employees to get more early warning signs where you might be able to intervene before they move on, I think you would find that really, really powerful. And this is something you'd contribute to. And you'll be getting, a lot of these things. So so bottom line is that's the offer that's coming from these guys in Azulbrain. At this point, we're pretty much at the point of wrapping up on the podcast, but we'll put these details in the notes and how to participate in the program. What I'll tell you for now is that if you go to azulbrain.com/homecare, that's where you'll find out information about this. And I realize that we have not only Home Care Heroes here, we have Day Service Stars, but we wanted to keep the link short. So it's going to be azulbrain.com/homecare. And that's where you'll be able to go and sign up for this offer. We'll all put links and QR codes on the places where you look at our content from Home Care Heroes and things like that, and make it very easy for you to get signed up. And with that, let me say thank you very much to Dr. J.D. Pincus and to Mr. John Penrose from Azulbrain.
Thanks, Ken. Really appreciate it. Our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for joining us today on the Home Care Heroes and Days Service Stars podcast, produced by Encoda. You can listen to back episodes by visiting 4homecareheroes.com. That's the number 4, then the words homecareheroes.com.